Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Baby Steps. Today is a very special episode because we are talking to my mother, Catherine Vandervoort. Hello, hello. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
I've already said hi to you 1,000 times today.
Well, this morning, yes. We did say good morning. Yes.
Because we are living in your house for the next couple weeks here in Nevada.
In Nevada.
And out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
We're loving it.
Just beautiful mountains all around.
Beautiful mountains. We're digging in the dirt every day.
We are digging in the dirt every day. We have a vacant lot next door that
is a toddler's playground.
It is a toddler's playground.
A toddler's COVID playground.
It is. Well, and we had our landscaper, because we're planning the landscaping, and we had the landscaper actually leave a big pile of dirt for Wes.
That's very sweet.
I know. He was looking for dinosaur bones.
Yeah, and he found an egg the other day, I heard.
Oh, he found an egg? Mm-hmm. A dinosaur egg?
He found a dinosaur egg.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I thought that I was going to be very clever and put in some, I have some old dog bones.
Oh.
And so I hid them in the dirt so that he couldn't see.
Wait, you've already done that?
I already did.
There are dog bones out there for Wes to find?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Well, he found them immediately because, you know, I put it right where he was digging. And I said, oh, is that a dinosaur bone? And he looked at it and he said, no, that's a dog bone. So I was very disappointed with the fact that we weren't, you know, that dinosaur bones are imaginary and dog bones are real. So, you know, that's a smart kid.
I think you're just going to have to find some bigger bones, sounds like.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I wasn't the one looking for bones. I don't know.
Maybe I should have consulted you first. And we
could. When have you ever consulted me first, please?
I always ask how Finn slept last night so that I can figure out how I did the day before.
That's fair.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I do. I try and figure out, you know, learn from maybe the mistake that, last night was a terrible night. So I feel a little bad. I think, well, how could I do it differently today?
Uh-huh.
Because I have had a lot of Finn time.
You have had a lot of Finn time.
Very sweet. Every day is different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, he's almost 3 months old. Mm-hmm. He's getting to that point where he is, he's got a little personality.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So how many babies have you been around? Have you been around a lot of babies?
No.
No, just my babies?
Well, your babies and then my babies.
Oh,
so
right.
You
of course.
And your sister, but that was a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Hence all of your notes.
Well, I had to think about it because it's been 30 years. Oh, sorry.
35 years.
Over 30.
let's just lay it all out there.
You know, I'm just so kind, though. You know,
I appreciate it.
You know, rounding down rather than rounding up.
You don't want to disclose my actual age to the entire internet.
Yeah. I just want to be sensitive to your feelings about that.
Okay. So let's start with that. Let's start with age.
Okay.
Right? All right. Yeah. So many women right now are, so I think that this conversation is going to be really interesting because you had babies in the 80s.
I did. I had babies in the 80s.
Right? Yeah. And I had babies in the 2000s, in the 20-aughts.
20-aughts.
Right? Yeah. Things are different.
Oh, they're so different.
Things are different. And I'm fascinated to know what the differences are and what your experiences were versus my experiences. And I think that our audience is also going to want to hear all of those juicy, juicy stories about what I was like as a child. And why I am the way I am today.
Children are born with a little personality, as we talked about with Finn.
Oh, yeah. You think?
Ariel was a very, you specifically.
Yes, me. Yes.
You were a very happy baby.
Was I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Smiley. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Early. Very, very happy.
Early. I was happy early. Not that I was actually early.
No. Right. You are actually after your due date. You were born after your due date. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my mom had told me, really the conversations we had, the first baby always comes late. Uh-huh. And 40 weeks and I'm still working.
You're still working.
I'm still working.
You are a doctor of pharmacy.
I am a doctor of pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you were working at the hospital.
I was working. No, actually, I was working at the VA, the Veterans Administration Outpatient Clinic in Los Angeles, which is a outpatient clinic where veterans come for their primary care. So I am a clinical pharmacist by training. So specializing in older geriatrics, chronic diseases, and really developed a specialty in anticoagulation. So monitoring and education about warfarin, blood thinners.
Whoa.
Rat poison.
Okay.
It's all the same thing.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So you were working at the VA.
So I was working at the VA. Your dad and I at first had decided not to have children.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I was just starting my career. I did my my residency. I mean, I had, 2 years of undergraduate, 5 years of graduate school. Uh-huh. And so I was
at USC, correct?
That's right. Eugene and I have something in common.
Oh, you both went to USC.
Yeah, we both went to USC. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you guys were in your mid-20s.
Yeah, mid-20s. Yeah.
Dad was working. You were working.
Yep.
And you guys were recently married?
Oh, no. We were married in 81. So actually, my 3 years of graduate school, your dad and I were married.
Wow.
And then during my residency at the outpatient clinic. So 4 years. Well, and then I met him in college. So
would you say that the reason that you thought about not having kids was because of
careers,
just work?
Oh yeah, we were just gonna live life as working adults. Uh-huh. And when we had been married, for at that point when we had you, we had been married for 7 years.
Wow. And so what was it that made you want to have kids?
Well, I finished my training and so I was in my residency and then, I don't know, it's your dad and I just woke up one day and
it was like one weekend. You were like, huh, I'm bored. Let's have kids.
Well, not really bored, but it's like, I think I want a different future. What about you? Oh, yeah, I think a different future. Well, I think having children. Yeah, I think let's have children. So two children, because, your dad and I are both have a brother and sister,
right?
Siblings. And we were blessed with two girls.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
And did you want two girls? Or did you want, like, what did you imagine yourself having?
No. We truly thought that, you were a girl. So we had you, and then we waited for 2.5 years, uh-huh. As you have done with Wes and Finn.
And do you think that's a good amount of time?
I think that's a good amount of time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think that's a good amount of time for most people to wait, kind of that 2.5 year?
I think that it's easier. You're getting your first child out of diapers and then you've got a whole new experience rather than
for
having
sure.
two children. But we really thought that your sister was a boy.
Right. Because in the 80s, you didn't learn the sex beforehand.
Well, yeah. With you, we had had an ultrasound.
Right.
Because we weren't sure of the due date, and I don't remember peeing on a stick. So I don't, I think that you just, you know, you miss your cycle and you go to the doctor.
And you're like, I think I'm pregnant.
Well, we're trying to get pregnant.
Right.
And
you're like, can you check for me? Am I pregnant?
And so, you know, this is a testimony as a pharmacist, you know, the science is that birth control works. You know, it's pretty reliable. And with your dad and I, yeah. So we decided
it worked, and then it didn't work.
And then when we stopped, we were just what you call a fertile myrtle.
That's what grandma calls it.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's what your mother calls it.
Yeah, fertile myrtles. Yeah, so we were fertile myrtles. So when we decided to have a child, yes, we were pregnant. And with you, though, we weren't sure of the exact due date. The doctor just wanted to kind of know.
So then
got an ultrasound.
Which at the time was not very, you wouldn't normally get an ultrasound.
No. Well, just talking about you, we had gotten an ultrasound because there was a medical need. What the doctor felt was a medical need for an ultrasound.
Got it.
With your sister, then, 2.5 years later, the doctor said, you know, you're healthy. The baby is healthy. We're pretty sure of the due date. So there's just no medical reason.
Was that because they thought that ultrasounds were harmful in some way?
Well, you know, as a scientist, I understood the science. Uh-huh. And it was a new technology at the time. Not brand new. It had been, I don't remember which year that it came out.
I think I was researching and it said that ultrasounds had been around since like the 50s, but they weren't really used very often. Like the technology was there, but people were still a little goofed by it.
Well, an ultrasound is a procedure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not an invasive procedure, but it's a procedure. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have procedures that aren't medically necessary.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I was a little bit confused about all of the testing that you had done. Ah. Now, I was not a geriatric mother.
No, you were not, as you like to remind me. Okay.
Well, a mother that is 35 or going to be 35.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, I was never a geriatric mother because
that's true.
Finn was born
before,
like 10 days before my birthday.
Well, I think your daughter or your doctor may have stretched it a little bit. Yes, that, you know, this is an individual that needs to have this.
Well, I would have been because his due date was after my
birthday. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And so you just got to make sure. But that is a medical indication for these procedures.
Well, I mean, I actually would argue that now these ultrasounds are completely normal.
Well, they're considered to be a standard of practice.
Right, exactly.
And so it just shows how the science has changed. You know, the risk to the mother and the infant is very low.
Sure.
So the risk versus benefit of perhaps finding a birth defect or an anomaly or something is... They consider it to be the standard of practice. So, but at the time that your sister and you were born, it was not the standard of practice.
Huh. And so you didn't even get the 20-week scan?
So
I actually got a lot more ultrasounds than a normal pregnancy.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Because I had the cervix thing.
Yes.
Which hilariously, we should go back to that because you told me that I was going to be so late. And so we were building a deck when I went into labor.
Well, now
mom was there.
We need to go back to that because or are we at that point now?
Go on.
Let me go ahead and just And go back to the beginning.
Uh-huh.
My mother told me that you, as my first pregnancy, that you were going to be late. And sure enough, I was at 40 weeks, dilated to 4 centimeters, still working a full day.
So which standing was, on your feet?
At the time, well, yeah, standing on my feet, seeing patients, being active, driving to work, you know, because we worked in Los Angeles.
All right, of course.
We lived 20 miles from...
Which in Los Angeles is 2 hours.
Well, pretty close.
Yeah. That,
it could have been a long drive for sure.
Because you guys were living in
Long Beach. Down in... Yeah, at that point we were at Lakewood. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We were in Lakewood. So you were driving from Long Beach to downtown.
Yes. Yes, because it was right, the outpatient clinic in Los Angeles was right in the middle of the town, the downtown area.
Which I think it still is. It's near Skid Row, right?
Well, they built a new facility, and so no, it actually has moved. They were in a really, really old building right near the Garment District, right in the middle of... You know, not the best part of Los Angeles.
Sure.
But that's...
It's still
they needed the facility to be because they're taking care. A lot of veterans are homeless. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of homeless in the area. So that was my first job, was monitoring their medications. Uh-huh. And a lot of times... in the homeless areas that they would stay in a hotel and they wouldn't be able to pay for the hotel. And then everything would be confiscated. And so including their medications. So they would come and see Dr. Kathy because they couldn't say my last name. But it wasn't very easy. And I wanted to have a personal relationship with them. Uh-huh. So they called me Dr. Kathy. So they come in to see Dr. Kathy so that they could get a refill on their medications so that they would be able to stay compliant.
Well, that's a story for another day.
That is true.
There is a story of mom bringing home one of her patients when I was a child.
I did not bring home one of your patients, one of my patients. I wanted to because an individual, one of my patients and his girlfriend were losing their home. And so I wanted to have them come and stay with us until they got back on their feet.
Anywho, different story, different day.
That's right.
Now,
what we were talking about was 4 centimeters still working. And so 40 weeks came and went. I'm exercising. I'm still working. And so we would walk because we heard that was what was going to start.
Right. Yes. That's a big thing. Were there any, did you do anything to make labor happen?
That was the main thing.
Well, do you know what some of the things that induce labor are?
Oh, well.
I mean, walking, obviously.
Yeah, walking, exercising, stuff like that.
What else? It's okay. Be frank. Sex.
Well, sex. Did we try sex?
We might have.
We were getting pretty desperate, you know, when you're 40 weeks.
Yeah.
And you've got probably an 8-pound baby.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, yes. So I think that you were born at 42 weeks.
Gosh.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
what my memory is. Mm-hmm. But the delivery was so fast.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. For first babies, yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. So,
so fast.
So normally the deliveries for first babies are not fast.
Not fast.
They are hours and hours. Like I have a friend who had 72 hours of labor.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, she had like a hip thing. So there was something going on there. That was.
Some complications.
That was the highest I've heard.
Yeah.
Mine was 8.
I think with you, I think it was 12.
It was 12.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fast.
But that's, it was an easy labor, you know, that's not hard labor. That is, you know, just going through.
Now to you, what was easy labor? Explain what that was like. Pretend you're explaining it to somebody who's never been into labor before. Why do you think of it as easy labor?
Well, you start to have contractions. Mm-hmm. And you know what those are because we went to class.
Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, you go to Lamaze class. Oh, same thing.
You did Lamaze?
Oh, sure.
Wait, so for people who have never heard of that, what is that?
Well, you've been to it more recently than I have. Well,
I would not describe the class that I went to as Lamaze.
Well, maybe mine wasn't Lamaze either. I mean, I'm not sure exactly that it was Lamaze. I don't remember that. But anyway, they prepare you for delivery. It's offered by the hospital. I think we may have paid some fee for it.
Right.
But they teach you how to get through the most difficult moments, which are the building pain levels, and then they get to a peak, and then they come back down again.
And so
they come at regular intervals, and so the class describes that, and it teaches you how to breathe, how the partner can help.
Did they teach you to breathe? That's so funny. They did not teach me that.
What?
No, I did not. They did not give me breathing exercises.
Oh, no. Gosh.
But I did tell you about the mama bear, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. They taught us the mama bear, where you just would kind of go, So I probably did take the present day Lamaze class. That's hilarious. And so did you use that in your?
Oh yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Now, funny thing. I don't remember very much about labor. I remember that when labor got so intense and I said, I need an epidural now. I need an epidural. You know, I mean, there's a certain point that you almost feel a little frantic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So the frantic comes on and you think, I've got a lot longer to go and I don't think I can do this.
I don't think
for an extended period of time.
That was the exact same feeling that I had. Yeah.
So they decided, the doctor goes and checks. Uh-huh. Okay, let's go ahead and check. And what that means is that they're going down to feel what's going down.
How dilated
you are, how effaced you are, how close you are to estimate how much longer you have before the baby's going to come.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, and so the nurse is checking, and she says, you're dilated to 9. And I can move it out of the way. You're at 10. You're ready to have a baby.
And you're like,
she says, it's too late to have an epidural. And I just went, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready. So, you know, then they have to get you into, and I think at that point I had to be transferred to the labor and delivery room. This was not
an all-in-one
room. I'm in the laboring room, and now they have the delivery room.
And did you have your own room? Were you in a room with other women?
No. Delivery rooms are always just one.
Okay.
One
but the
family.
Labor room?
Yeah. So then we have to be whisked down to.
But were you with other people in the labor room?
No.
Okay. You were in your room. Okay.
Yeah. Now with Danielle, it was just newly renovated or remodeled, and it was an all-in-one.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, Danielle was like 4 contractions. Like big contractions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Danielle was born like in 4 minutes.
Were you worried she was going to like come in the car?
Oh, yeah. Well, because that's what the doctor said, because my first delivery was so fast for a first delivery.
Yeah.
They thought that Danielle was, they said, you at the first contractions.
Get to the hospital.
You need to get to the hospital.
And did you ever consider not giving birth in a hospital?
No.
Really?
No. For us, it just wasn't a thing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And I'm not sure why that is.
You worked at a hospital.
Well, I worked at a hospital, and so I was very, very familiar with the hospital procedures. And I mean, I had done training in the hospital. I actually was working in an outpatient clinic. Now, later in my career, I worked at a 12 hospital system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As a patient safety specialist. But at that point, I don't know. It was just, we just didn't really even consider it.
Really?
With you, your dad was helping me breathe. We have so many pictures of a laboring mom.
Oh, I know. You have some horrific pictures. Film pictures.
No, we do not, because there was no film. Oh, yeah.
Film pictures.
Right.
Printed out.
Oh,
Dad's just snapping away. Snap.
So we've got you crowning. We've got, oh, no, but it's, but I mean.
It's beautiful. I get it.
It is part of the experience.
Yes. And at the time, would it have been strange not to have all those pictures?
I don't know, because I only know my own. I didn't know very many people that, you know, I was new in Los Angeles.
Right.
All I did was work. I mean, we did not do a lot of socializing or anything. And there's not the internet to see what's appropriate or not appropriate. I mean, that's one thing that's really, really different with your experience is that let's Google it.
Let's Google it.
Yeah, let's find the best pacifier.
Right.
You were a pacifier baby, and I only had one type of pacifier. I mean,
the one that was at the grocery store.
It was the one at the grocery store. You know, one of the questions that that we had talked about was the diaper issue. Mm. And at the time that you were born, the transition was just happening from cloth diapers and disposable diapers were just becoming available. But there was a huge concern about the landfill.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And so I had decided, my mom, your grandma,
right,
had decided that we were going to do cloth diapers. And so
I just want to stop on that for 1 second, that like we decided, as like you and grandma decided, and that just indicates to me how involved she was.
Oh, well, we decided, and your dad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we as a
family unit.
As a family unit. Yeah. I mean, you know, it takes a village.
Absolutely.
It takes a village. Well,
this is a testament to how much of a village it takes. We are here with you because we can't without childcare.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so you decided on cloth diapers.
Well, so we decided on cloth diapers, and there were services available that would wash the diapers for you. So you would rinse them, and you would have a cloth diaper, and then there would be the little pins.
The huge safety pins.
Huge safety pins with little blue or ducks or, you know,
adorable,
whatever on the end that you would fasten the safety pin in. So then you would have these, and then you would have these plastic pants.
Plastic pants?
Yeah, and you would have these plastic outer pants. Yeah.
And pants are like a plastic diaper situation.
Well, it's kind of, good.
Like a cover.
An excellent clarifying question. The plastic pants, it had elastic around the leg. So it came around the leg and then around the waist.
So it's like a little swimsuit.
It's like a little swimsuit.
They actually, so we did, we dipped our toe in cloth diapering.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah. And it's very similar. Yes. It's two layers. It's like one layer of the diaper, of like the cloth.
Right.
That soaks everything up. And yeah. they make them a little bit more. I mean, I've seen your cloth diapers. They have snaps. Exactly. Yes. I have seen your cloth diapers.
I remember seeing the cloth diapers that you.
Yeah.
So dipped your toe with.
Grandma made your cloth diapers.
Yes, they were not flannel, but I don't know, diaper material.
They're like terry almost. They're like low pile terry cloth.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And so she cut them all the size. Uh-huh. Gosh, probably 30 of them. Uh-huh. And then she put seams on both sides. And then there was a way to fold them. I mean, we had practiced and figured out exactly the right size.
Did you have to practice on a pretend baby?
Of course.
Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, the folding, because you knew. Yeah, we probably used dolls.
Did you do that in Lamaze?
Oh, yes, we did. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. There was the child that, can you handle a baby? And actually, probably they would assess whether the families, whether they were ready to have children, and just watching them. And
what do you do if the family's not ready?
You know what? I don't know.
I doubt that they would have done.
Oh, I think that, well, they would think about whether they needed more training.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they could, because, yeah, the instructors probably are all nurses that are involved with families are responsible for making sure that infants and children are safe. And so, yeah.
Well, so, okay. So let's talk a little bit about, because I am always fascinated that you left the hospital after like 24 hours.
Oh, no, less than 24 hours. The first time you were a healthy baby.
Uh-huh. 8 pounds, you said.
What's that?
8 pounds.
Yeah, 8 pounds, I think.
8 pounds something.
Yeah.
Eight pounds and change.
Yeah, 8 pounds and change. That's exactly right.
Which is, would you say that's an average baby, a big baby?
Oh, I would say for a full-term baby. I mean, that's a nice size.
That's a nice size
baby. Well, that's a nice size baby to deliver because there are babies that can get
10 pounds.
Yeah. And those are usually mothers that didn't have good control of their blood sugar while they were pregnant.
Interesting.
And so, yeah,
babies,
women that have diabetes or a poor control of their sugar, their babies can get bigger. And so they want to bring those babies into the world a little bit earlier. So they may induce early or something.
Because
10 pounds they're more difficult.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, I do know that there are normal moms out there who, you know, healthy, no pre-existing conditions like diabetes or anything like that, who do have 10-pound babies.
Well, that's exactly, yeah. So anyway, so you were a good size for a normal newborn. Uh-huh. Now, the thing that I think that that you are fascinated with was that, I mean, you did not have to go to the NICU, you did need to go under special lights because you had a high bilirubin. You were jaundiced.
I was jaundiced.
You were a jaundiced baby. Low levels. I mean, not in urgent or anything. I mean, there wasn't an emergency.
And
but they were hesitant.
Now, you might actually, just to explain what jaundice is and what bilirubin is, I think you might be a good person to explain what that is. Try not to get into the weeds, but, you know, what is jaundice?
Being jaundiced is a high level of bilirubin for infants or newborns. It has to do with their functioning liver and
liver
that
function.
Their liver function is not able to clear out the bilirubin as efficiently and effectively as when they get older.
Right.
So it's just a little immaturity.
Yeah.
And with you, that's that. I mean, not that you were an immature baby, but that the liver just wasn't able to handle
both,
it right.
Both of my kids were jaundiced.
And correct. And you put them under lights, and I think that it's UV light that helps to clear out the bilirubin. And so anyway, because your dad and I both of us college trained, myself, I'm a health professional, they felt comfortable releasing you before the 24-hour period, knowing that you were jaundiced. We had to bring you in the next day, and they would check. The problem when families take home babies who are jaundiced is the jaundice could get worse because of dehydration.
Right.
So it's really the parents then that are keeping the baby safe by feeding them. Mm-hmm. And I remember that at that point, we were not only breastfeeding, but we were water. We were giving you some
water. You were giving us water?
Well, yeah.
That is bonkers to me because now you're not supposed to give them anything but, you know, either breast milk or formula.
Well, that's exactly right. But because of the potential for the dehydration, it was a specific treatment to avoid dehydration.
Really?
Because we were breastfeeding. We did not have good pump systems either for moms.
Right. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So you brought me home.
So I brought you home and my mother was there to help.
Mm-hmm.
As I think that you have to have your mother's there. I think that's just...
That was just your experience.
That's just the most, you know, having grandma there to help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been several years since grandma had a baby, but you know, still she's the most experienced person, especially because I never even heard of a doula until you
had one.
Had a doula.
Well, so, okay.
So we brought you home and we laid you in the sun and we have pictures of you on the kitchen table and this wonderful sunlight coming in and you have the diaper kind of sort of around you, but fully as much as possible exposed to sunlight.
So that the vitamin D would clear out the bilirubin.
So that
fascinating.
The bilirubin would,
they do decrease. Say that giving kids vitamin D that kind of, you know, sort of supports the liver function.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to touch a little bit on, you know, it's not everybody's experience to have their mothers there, nor is it their choice to have their mothers there.
I agree.
But
with that.
It was yours and it was also mine. You guys were there out of you didn't plan to be there. You were there because I was early.
Let's just talk about your plans are. So anyway, here's the not you so much, but Ned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ned, I'm Ned's mother-in-law.
Yes, you are Ned's mother-in-law.
So anyway, you know, all the mother-in-law issues and...
Sure,
you know,
it's difficult to
bring families together.
Yeah.
I mean, so getting to know Ned's techniques and...
Needs and wants. And when it comes to children, everybody's very particular.
Everybody's particular. And Ned specifically... wanted to bond with the baby, just you and he and the baby, and just be a really, really strong
unit.
That's
true. I do remember that. I remember that he really just wanted it to be the three of us.
Yep. Just the three of you. And so your dad and I are over here going, who does he think is going to like wash the clothes
and feed Ariel?
Ariel and Dan. I mean, who's going to...
And then, like, 48 hours later, it's like...
Well, no, but it had been longer than that because Ned had this idyllic vision of how he wanted to start his family. And, you know, what a lovely vision. And, you know, I wish that I thought it was going to be like that, but it's not like that. Poop and burping up and... crying babies it takes a village.
It takes a lot. Absolutely.
And so then what happened was that we're building a deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Ned had just started a new company. You guys were living in a house.
A construction zone.
And you were planning on moving to a construction zone, but you hadn't moved yet. So you didn't have anything done.
Nope.
So we get a call at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And you guys were planning to leave at 7 a.m. that morning.
We were catching an airplane at 7 a.m. And Ned calls and said, we need for you to stay. some help.
We need some help.
We need some help.
And it's not easy for either of us to ask for help. That is something that that we both know about ourselves, is we do not ask for help.
Right. Now, your father and I are the type of parents that we are really individuals. Mm-hmm. We need to be needed.
Wow, and so, I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that. I mean, you guys,
I mean, that's how, why we live. And that's how, for our marriage, I mean, as
well. Oh, for sure. I can see that.
You know, our relationship is very, what can I do for you today? I mean, we're, you know, we just care about each other. That's, and we care about our family. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, what a wonderful compliment to have Ned call us when we thought that he wanted this different experience. Uh-huh. I mean, he truly thought that this other was going to work, but of course it didn't. And then, you didn't even have a car seat.
We didn't even have a car seat.
I mean, to bring that home and to be part of that experience, I mean, that was just the nicest part of being a grandparent.
How is the experience of being a grandparent?
Well,
Wes was your first grandchild.
Yeah. And he was so cute.
And he was so cute.
He was so cute. What a sweet, sweet baby. I mean,
how would you compare him to me and Daniela's babies?
He was his own little personality. I don't even know how to, he wasn't as easily smiley as you were. Uh-huh. Your sister was much more serious. She, you know, really, she smiled because she wanted to smile. She
right.
just, you know, she didn't, she exuded a risk adversity kind of, you
oh,
know,
okay.
just kind of she always paying attention to the moment and just kind of assessing and uh-huh. watching and so on. Whereas you were just like,
well,
I don't know what, you know, even how to describe it. That's
sure.
just kind of.
Would you say that I am still like that?
Yes.
Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Because you are still, you wake up happy every day.
Uh-huh.
More like myself. I mean, I would
that's
say
true.
that's
you're a friendly
a similar,
person.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. friendly.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Happy.
Sure. Well, okay. So you got home from the hospital. Just getting back to this. You got home from the hospital. Grandma's there.
Grandma's
You're
there.
Cloth diapering.
We are cloth diapering and we're trying that. Now, the cloth diapers, you've got the outer diapering part, which is the part that we talked about that uh-huh. has the seam on uh-huh. both sides. Uh-huh. And then you have a little inner thing.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's similar.
Well.
A pad.
Well, but it's a, but we don't have really pads. What you have is another piece of fabric to absorb and to clean up the poop easier so that you don't have it all over on the inside of your outer. So.
Well, but what I want to talk about is,
and then that just, sometimes you throw it away and sometimes you wash it.
You would describe your breastfeeding journey as easy.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty easy. It was, you know, my mom had said that I was going to be successful. It was easy for her. And so she breastfed all because she was not a working mom. Mm-hmm. Now, I only had 6 weeks.
Of maternity leave.
And so,
did he have paternity leave?
No, no. Paternity leave was not a thing at all. I mean, the support for families, we thought that 6 weeks was very generous, that we would have paid. Well, no, it wasn't even paid. You would have to use your vacation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
you had to use your vacation for the 6 weeks of maternity leave?
Yes. Yeah. But you see, so really wasn't maternity leave. What it was that they could, that by law, they had to hold your job for 6 weeks, but then they could give it to somebody else. You would basically be terminated if you didn't come back at 6 weeks. So they could.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that was basically the law.
And
was
so
that they would hold. So you see, the whole thing was, it wasn't really maternity leave. It was the that's how long they had to hold the job open for you.
Wow.
Because it's hard on companies.
Absolutely.
You know, when you've got moms that are in the workplace, and remember that moms were just starting to come into the workplace. I mean, you're grandma, and that is your Mark's
my paternal
grandmother. She was one of the first generation to be a working woman. So she started
a working mom.
Yeah.
I remember the stories about how she wore pants to work, and everybody was like, "Oh my god!"
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it
so
was.
Funny.
Yeah, it was. She was an individual. She was a strong-minded individual, and she was really, really good at being a salesperson.
Right,
and she was also that kind of the women's lib. She was probably in the burn your bra generation, kind of, you know.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Well, so she really thought that it was important for you girls to understand what it was like to not lose the vision that women should be in the workplace, and what her generation had to go through to be able to open up the workplace for women in your generation and in my generation. Now, certainly in pharmacy, there was 50% at USC, there was 50% female women. So, you know, I was in pharmacy, was highly... there was lots of women in pharmacy, but in the career that your dad chose, I mean, it was men. In the oil industry, it was primarily men.
Interesting.
And so there was a lot that we were going through in terms of changes and families, how to support families.
Right. Absolutely. And so, okay. So 6 weeks of maternity leave.
Correct.
That wasn't even paid.
Correct. And so a little infant at 6 weeks, and that's Finn. Finn now is almost 3 months. I mean, you can imagine. So I decided that you were going to go to work with me that 20 miles. And so that I could go and breastfeed you. Because we did not have good ways to pump.
Right.
Right?
So instead of putting me in daycare where we lived,
correct,
you drove the 20
correct
miles with me downtown LA.
Right.
So that you could
breastfeed,
leave work, yes, on your like 15-minute breaks or whatever.
Yes.
And go to the daycare center and breastfeed.
Yes.
Because the pumps, they just didn't exist.
They didn't exist. Or I didn't know that they existed because I couldn't Google it.
Of course.
You know what?
And they weren't at the grocery store.
They weren't at the grocery store. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we just didn't know what the options were. And they may have been available. I just was not familiar with that.
And so then the experience at that point was that, I mean, you would just get busy.
Oh,
you wouldn't
would just
take
be
a break.
Really, really busy, and I wouldn't take breaks. And so it really ended up that you ended up on formula. Which was fine. I mean, there wasn't any problem with that. And you didn't have any problem with the formula.
And what were the options for formula then? Was there like, was there one option? Were there
five
options?
There was a lot of different options. Pretty much the options that they have now.
Oh, really?
And just to kind of c- compare the or to tell an account about the differences. Your sister did not do well. Well, okay, so I breastfed her as well. I had to go
for
back
six
to
weeks.
Work
huh?
at six weeks, and I could not wean her by myself because she would not take a bottle. And so I didn't know what to do. So I ended up flying from Los Angeles up to Washington so that my mom could help me wean the baby.
Huh.
Because Danielle just would not
right.
go to the bottle.
And dad was working.
Well, and dad was working.
Yeah.
And so.
So it was you having to give the baby a bottle. And of course she wasn't going to take it.
And crying. And then, you know, the experience of letting down and then, you know, the frustration and everything. And
yeah.
so, you're tired because the baby's not sleeping well either. And
right.
the whole thing. And so anyway, so mom helped me then to wean Danielle. Mm-hmm. And then Danielle, she had tummy trouble. I mean, she really struggled. And uh-huh. so we tried all kinds of formulas. Soy, so non-dairy. Non-dairy. Uh-huh. We went to soy and everything, but she just always had a very, just a bad tummy.
Uh-huh.
So what is the five S's, you know, the
soothe. Shush, swaddle, sway. Wait, soothe. I don't even know if I don't. I, it doesn't.
Well, matter. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It does.
But the happiest baby on the block, and I love how he said, "Oh, nobody's written a book about what parents know because
they already
figured
know.
It out." That's
yeah.
right. But you know, it still was good to have the five S's and the whole thing, and then.
Yeah.
You know, the new bed with the
snoo. Yes.
Which I find fascinating. As a scientist, it's like I just watch how it works. And
you're like, it does
really
actually work.
It really
yeah.
does work. But with Danielle, she all the pictures of her and a lot of my memories with her was that she would be wrapped over our legs
uh-huh.
and then we would do bounce a bounce.
You would bounce her because she had a bad tummy.
And then it would soothe her. And that was the easiest way. Now you, at the time when Danielle's draped over our arms at kind of the same age, you were basically in a bouncing, you know, it was a
bouncy chair.
A bouncy chair. Yeah. So it had a swing type thing that went under,
uh-huh.
a sling that went under your bottom. And then it would kind of hold you up like this. And then you would strap it to the door jam.
Uh-huh.
And then you would go boink, boink, boink over and over and over. Just, I mean, you would spend like so much time doing
wow.
it. Wow. So anyway, that was
okay.
your favorite thing.
Well, we are running out of time, Mom. There's so much more to talk about.
Well, I have so much more to talk about.
I know.
You know, there's the asthma during pregnancy, and there's you know, other complications that occur during pregnancy.
For sure.
So anyway, there's so many stories to tell.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know what? One thing I don't know that whether we touched on it or not, but you know what it's like to be a grandma, and,
yeah.
and am I thrilled to be a grandma? I'm really thrilled to be a grandma.
Yeah,
I have so many hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an artist, glass artist, so I do mosaics, and as well as being a scientist, and I have a lot of work that I need to do, but I just love spending time with your children. One thing about being helping Aria with her children is that I just really appreciate how organized Ariel is.
Oh.
Her your schedule. I mean, every day, you know, everybody's got their role to play, and
trying
just really, really organized. You and Ned are really, really excellent parents. I
oh.
mean, you have a very, very busy toddler. Wes is just a hurricane, a wonderful hurricane. I mean, he just
but I
is
know that
so busy.
That's very different from what Danielle and I were
it's
like.
It's very, very different from what Danielle and you were like. Now, you know, we did not have computer screens to deal with, But you guys watched a lot of television.
Yeah. I mean,
your sister's favorite show was Weebity Boz.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. And we watched that over and over and over again with her. And you as well had your favorites.
My shows. And
your
my...
shows. And I was always amazed with how great your attention span was. That was as a mom, I was just so... I was thrilled with that because I really valued attention span. Uh-huh. I thought that was, you know, just an indication.
And so was it weird to you when I was sort of like, no, we really shouldn't do screens. Like, Wes shouldn't be watching television.
It's not weird because I know that I had heard a little bit about the science. But yeah,
you turned out okay.
I feel bad for Wes because there's so many things that he would enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so much. Sesame Street.
When he does get to watch TV, he's a fiend.
He's glued onto the TV and his Red Game, which is a computer game.
It's an iPad.
Well, it is.
His Red Game is the iPad.
Well, but he enjoys it so much.
He does.
And I am... In my heart, I'm a little disappointed for him that he would love spending time on it.
The real truth comes out.
No,
Mom thinks Wes should be watching more TV.
No, it's not really that. I mean, you all probably spent too much time watching TV, but you know, we were busy working parents, and so when you were glued to the television. I was working.
You were getting stuff done.
I was getting stuff done.
You were cleaning
done.
The house, doing the laundry, making dinner.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
We didn't really touch on this. We'll have to do another one of these because there are so many other topics that I want to know about. I mean, you had a live-in nanny for Danielle. There's just some really fascinating things that... happened, you know, as your family got bigger and as, you know, things moved along.
And each individual infant is different.
Their
needs are different. And you have to, you know, as a parent, understand how to meet those needs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a working parent,
there weren't many options.
Well, you just have to figure out which option is best for your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I think that's a really good sentiment to end this one on, is that, you know, you do what's best for you and what's available at the time.
What's available at the time and what the science tells us about what is best for each child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To meet their individual needs.
I love that.
Well, this has been really fun.
Well, this has been fun for me too. Some of these anecdotes I have never heard. And so I'm very excited to hear more. But until then, write us a review on Spotify. Email us at babystepspodcast@gmail.com or babystepsadvice@gmail.com. And let us know what you want my mom to answer. I mean, I have a feeling we're going to be here for another week or so we could do another one of these.
Well, if people like it, it might just be like, you know, watching paint dry or something like that, you know. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next time.